I want you to take your Bible and turn to Colossians chapter number 3. This morning, I started a sermon and on purpose planned to finish it tonight because it's Married Couples Day. We're talking about marriage today. Colossians chapter 3, the sermon is called, Have a Plan for Your Marriage. Have a plan for your marriage. And young people, don't talk now. Listen. Yeah, I want you to be quiet. I want you to pay very close attention. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Stand with me if you would, please. I'm going to read a few verses now. I'll refer to others in the night. The sermon is very practical. It's very down to earth. And I hope that you'll be challenged and maybe you'll be better in regard to your marital relationship because you've been in church tonight. Colossians 3:17 says this. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And let me pray. Father, bless us. Our time is short, but yet, Lord, we want the Bible and Jesus and this holy relationship called marriage to be uplifted and exalted and purified among our people. Bless us tonight, Lord. Holy Spirit of God, You're already working. What a beautiful song. What a wonderful atmosphere is present here. Bless us now, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I said this morning, people will go to work on planning their wedding ceremony. And boy, there's a lot of planning that goes into it. Wouldn't you say, Sarah? Elizabeth, I mean, where's Elizabeth at? There she is, back there by Caleb. But she's in between two Calebs. That's a rose between two thorns right there. But they're getting ready for a wedding. There's a lot of planning that goes into it. Lots and lots of planning. But let me tell you something, folks. I know people that will put a whole bunch of time into planning a wedding ceremony, but they put no time into planning to be married. And the ceremony's good and it's exciting and it's fun and it's big, but it's nowhere near as important as the following 50 years, 51 years and 52 years. You got to get a plan if you want your marriage to be strong. You plan your marriage, then you work that plan and you don't get sidetracked. And let me promise you something, and I really believe this. Anything that we do not well, anything that we don't do well, we probably haven't set up a plan to do it well. Most anybody could do what needed to be done if there was a plan for success to get there. You know, the Bible is God's book. It's a plan for the success for Christians. Here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, 18, and 19, God gives us a plan in regard to our behavior in marriage. He said, do what you do as unto the Lord. And I said this morning, and I'll say it again. If every husband in here would do everything you do for your wife, around your wife, in the presence of your wife, if you did everything you did as unto the Lord, your marriage would be better off. And you say, well, I treat her the way I do because of who she is. You ought to treat her the way you treat her because of what you are and what the Lord expects you to be to her. Then, I think if every lady here, every wife here, I think if you would treat your husband, what you do for him and around him and in his presence, if you would do it as unto the Lord, I think we all ought to, I think everything we ought to kick it up a level when we're serving God, when what we do, we're doing for God, it ought to be done right. But here you do understand this is in the context of marriage. It says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, it goes right into saying, I'm talking to marriages now. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. God is laying out a plan. He said there's a plan. There are things that you do if you want a marriage to be strong. Again, this morning, I told everyone, I said, I got a lot of young people in here. They're not married, a lot of teenagers. Young people, the time to plan to be successfully married is not 2 weeks before your wedding. You set up in church every time the preacher talks about marriage and you learn and you watch and you glean and you pull that truth and you pull that Bible into you because you're going to need it someday. Young people, you are in constant training for a relationship that you will enter with the opposite sex someday. And it's not an easy relationship. It's one the devil fights, but it's a blessed, it's called holy matrimony. And that holy part has some, you know, the preacher, they hardly ever call it holy matrimony anymore. I wonder why. I don't think people see it as a holy thing, but it is. God's the one that invented this thing called marriage, and He wants us to do right. I'm going to read a couple of verses to you. I'm going to do a little review from this morning, and then I'm going to give you some more information tonight. And don't let all that scare you. It won't take a long time. In Mark chapter 2, verse 8, it says this, "And they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain but one flesh." God's saying when two people come together, they're to function as one, they're to become a unit, a team. It's a godly team. That's what marriage is. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." The Bible says, "House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord," Proverbs 19:14. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." I believe this. I believe a marriage that is successful long term, there's some basic elements. There are some things that they did or they do to survive and to have a lengthy marriage. I call it a plan. You get a plan for your marriage. And I'm going to give you some basic little suggestions that help marriages to be stronger. I'm going to cover very quickly what I said this morning, and then we'll get to the new material. First of all, I believe you need a plan for your own personal walk with God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Now, that's personal. Let me say to everybody in here, husbands, you ought to be right with God. The greatest contribution that you can make to your marriage being a success is that you're right with God. You can't make your wife right with God, and ladies, you can't make your husband right with God. Wives, you need to be right with God. Husbands, you need to be right with God. And when both of you are moving toward God, you're moving toward each other, and you're going to be stronger that way. But you ought to read your Bible. You ought to pray. You ought to be in church. And it's not just it coming to church, sitting in here, and acting religious. I'm talking about being real, a true connection with God in your heart. And so, first point, get yourself close to God. That will help your marriage. Number two, I think you ought to have dates and on a regular basis. I think you ought to date. I think if you can do something together weekly, but if not every week, every other week, you just need to take a little time and do something. You don't have to spend a lot of money. I get to talking about dating and marriage, and people say, "Well, we're short on funds." Okay, then you make you a couple peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and whack those babies in half and take a bottle of water and go out by the river and smooch. I mean, that don't cost you anything. It's a crazy thing. I'm telling all my teenagers, keep your hands off of each other, be virgin, be clean, be pure. And then I got to turn around and say to all the married people, touch each other. Touch each other. Why is it everybody wants to do what they're not supposed to do? But you need weekly dates. Number three, I think it's wise in a family to plan your responsibilities so that if you don't share responsibility well, you don't fuss and argue about it. The way I explain that is if you and your spouse can work on the finances together and the checkbook together and you get along good, go for it. But so many married couples don't do the finances well together, so they always fight when they do that. If that's the case, our preference is you learn to get along when you do it. But if you can't learn to get along when you do it, maybe the finances ought to be given to one or the other, and we could cut that fussing and fighting out of it. So I'm for us being able to do it together. But if you can't, why keep fighting over the same subject over and over again? Why not assign the responsibility to one of the two, and then we kind of cut some of that arguing out. So I told you, part of our plan is increase your walk with God. Part of the plan is to have regular dates. Part of the plan is to divide in areas where you fuss. Part of the plan is get your finances together. Get your finances together. And folks, listen, money is often a source of contention in marriage. You just need to get it worked out. Let me give you some simple, real quick thoughts. Don't spend more than you make. Get a budget. Function by a budget. Be good to each other in regard to your finances. Be faithful to God in your finances. But I'm just telling you, finances cause fusses all the time, and they hurt marriages. So get a plan for your finances so it doesn't destroy your marriage. Then I suggested that you plan a family vacation. I'm for hard work. I believe in hard work, but I think every once in a while, in the Bible, they even let the land that they farmed rest every so many years because God felt like it would rejuvenate the land and it would be more productive. I think a family just need to take some time and go away and spend some time together and get away from the hustle bustle of life and relax a little bit. And I know you say, well, you know, teach me something from the Bible. I really think I am. I think you're to love your wife and love your husband, and I think you're to have a happy home. I love something my wife said. I heard my wife teaching a group of ladies one day, and she said, I want my husband to enjoy me, not to endure me. Now, it's a sad thing when in Christianity we have people that endure their marriage. It's not supposed to be that way. If you're sitting there thinking right now, yeah, if it weren't for him, or if it weren't for her, no, I'm talking to you.
Right.
You. So, a family vacation gives you some relax. It can be very good for you. I said then this morning, number six, I think it's a good idea that you have meals together around the family table. Be great if you could have a meal together every day, but you know, we live in a society where people might not sit down at the family table for 3 or 4 days in a row, and I'm a firm believer that mom and dad and the kids ought to sit down and have a meal together. If you can only pull it off one time a day, I just grew up and my dad said everything's going to come to a screeching halt, and you boys are going to be home and you're going to sit at the table with us and we're all going to sit down and eat. You say, what's the big deal about it? I don't know, but the last generation's marriages are a whole lot stronger than this generation's marriages. And you might say, well, that's such a little thing. Most marriages are not messed up by the big things. It's a series of little things that have been falling on the wayside. And you add a bunch of little things together, and you get a great big mess by adding a lot of little messes together. So I feel like that meal's good for you. Number next, I think it's a good idea that you have a plan in regard to how you're going to handle your children and the disciplining of your children. It's another point of contention. Husbands and wives can fuss about how they're going to handle the kids. They're going to fuss about the disciplining of the kids. I said this morning, I think it's a good idea if mom and dad, if one of the children need a little extra attention, mom and dad ought to come to terms together about what's going to happen, and then they work together as a unit. The kids don't need to see division in the leadership. That's not good for the kids. You say, well, wonder if we're not on the same page. Then the two of you go to your room and work it out and come back out and figure out a unified way to help the children to follow the leadership of mom and dad. But I think there needs to be a plan. There are way too many Christian families that are fighting and fussing about the kids. Well, God never intended for those kids to create havoc in your family. And so we ought to get it together. Let me go on. I think that it's a good idea that you have a plan about the proper treatment of in-laws. There are 3 or 4 things that create a lot of grief in marriage. One is finances, and one are the children. Another is the in-laws, alias the outlaws. But I think you need to be careful. You need to remember something. You need to remember something. Your in-laws gave you your spouse. And maybe you don't agree with them on everything, but there's one thing that you ought to do is you ought to love them. You ought to let your spouse love them. And, you know, the in-law jokes and things, they can be a lot of fun. But here's the problem. There's some people that when they tell in-law jokes, they have some animosity in their heart, and they're telling a joke that's actually a true jab. Well, you do enough of that to your spouse, you're not helping your marriage. So learn how to function with the in-laws and the family, and you'll have a more peaceful marriage. And then, I said this, I think if you need counseling, you need to find somebody and let them help you. Thank God for the Bible, but if you're going to the Bible and you say, we're still not getting along, find somebody that you could sit down and talk with and let them help you. The last thing I said this morning is this. I long again for the day when people would have family devotions. My children grew up in a home where every day mom and dad took a moment, we opened the Bible, we read some scripture to the kids, we had a prayer time. That's how they grew up. You say, why? Because this guy by the name of Dr. John R. Rice, I'd read his books and I'd listened to him preach, and he said, I think you ought to have family devotions. And I thought maybe he knew something that I did not know. And so I had family devotions. I have no regret about it. And I know I'm a voice crying in the wilderness, and I say it, and people aren't going to do it. But when you get to heaven, if the Lord says, okay, we're having family devotions, I'm going to stick my tongue out at everybody up there. I'm going to say, nah, 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 told you this was the right thing to do. And we're going to do it at the table together. We're going to be at a feast table, and the Heavenly Father is going to say we're having devotions, and we're all going to eat together. I promise you it'll happen. And remember, my tongue stuck out, nah, 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 when we get there, you'll see me. And he'll say, sit down, Jeff. A couple of you won't have to worry. You won't be there. Okay. This plan. I really do believe we can help our marriages if you have a plan. I think most everybody in here has a logical understanding, or you understand if there's something that needs worked on, get a plan, and that plan can lead you to success. Let me give you some other little pieces of the plan. For instance, get a plan in regard to the important dates and memories in your marriage. Anniversaries are a big deal. It used to be that people cared a little bit more about anniversaries, and it also used to be that you had more of them. Preacher Croom, I'm glad we're celebrating your 50th. I'm glad of that. I'm excited about that. Mrs. Owens and I, we try to make a deal out of our anniversaries. I think our next anniversary is 37. And we try to make a big deal out of it. Hey, but I think men, sometimes we're a little sloppy about this. And yeah, we don't always remember the anniversary dates. And it was okay when I had one kid. I could remember one birthday. But when we got to four, I said, phooey, that's my wife's job. She's going to have to remember all these birth dates and anniversary dates. But I am going to tell you, it's probably a good thing that the special dates in our lives just be remembered. Let's remember the anniversary dates. Let's remember the days maybe that are a little bigger than others. And sometimes there are special days within your relationship. It might be good to remember them. The day you met. Maybe the day that you said, I love you. Doesn't hurt to remember the day that your first child was born. All of those are events, and it's a part of God's will. I think we've lost something in our marriages. Folks, we're so sucked up into the world. We're just so sucked up in living in this world. We've lost track of what's called holy matrimony, and the family's falling apart in America. And I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you what would give us a revival. You want to make America great again? Make our families great again. Make our families great again. That's what we need. And you're not going to have the right kind of family if you don't have the right marital relationship, which I might say you're not going to have the right marital relationship if you don't have a relationship personally with Jesus. Get a plan. Remember those dates. And this is actually number 12, working off of this morning. Men, plan your dates for your wife so they're special. I'll just tell you. Most ladies like to be treated nicely and well, and they'd like to think that you'd put a little effort into the date. I'm talking about you're going to go out, you're going to spend a little time out, and you're going to go somewhere. Men, if every time you go on a date, you say this, so what do you want to do? You're a real romancer, buddy. That's impressive. Now, for some of you, I'd rather you do that than what you do now because you don't do anything. But it wouldn't hurt every once in a while to take her somewhere that's a surprise. You said, oh, I did. It was an NFL football game. Boy, was she surprised. Hot dogs, peanuts. Yeah. Men, just work a little romance into yourself. Do something. Hey, do something new. Take her someplace. If you think like me, I'm more than willing to take my wife out for a big steak, especially when I'm hungry for steak. Now, get a plan. Work a little bit at this dating thing. I mentioned it this morning. Most of you, when you were courting, most of you, when you were heading toward engagement marriage, you wanted to be with your spouse, or you wanted to be with your boyfriend or with your girlfriend. You wanted to date. And remember, some of those days were pretty exciting. They had a freshness. They had some fun to it. Well, can't you still have fun after you've been married 20 years and 30 years and 40 years and 50 years? Sure you can. But the thing is, you stop doing some of the things that you used to do that kept it fun. So, men, work a little bit. Plan the date. Make it exciting. You say, Pastor, I have no idea where to begin. Come see me. I'll sit down and I'll show you some things that you could do to maybe spice it up. Number 13, I think every once in a while it's good for a husband and wife to have an overnight getaway. An overnight getaway. Take your wife away from home. Let somebody else make the bed. I'm talking about go get a hotel room. Look. Let somebody else clean the toilet for a day or two. And then all the ladies say, amen, preacher. Come on now. I promise you, it aids the relaxation in the marriage. I think it aids the private life, the intimate life. There's something about being away from home. And God knows there's something about being away from the kids. Oh, we love our kids. Thank God for babysitters. Babysitters are from God. There are ladies that come into church and they say, I'm so glad to be here. And I'm thinking, she loves the Lord. No, you have a nursery. Take them. But an overnight every once in a while, save a few bucks, get a hotel and just go somewhere and relax and chill out. And don't go there and take your briefcase and all your work with you. Go there and relax. Help your marriage. So you got to get a plan. These are little pieces of a plan that will help your marriage to be strong. A plan for the memories and the important dates. A plan where men, you actually plan something for a date instead of the where you want to go, babe. You plan an overnight stay every once in a while. Then you need to plan to pray for your mate. Y'all believe in prayer? Mrs. Owens, I pray for you every day. And I mean I try to get a hold of God for you. Every day. There are people in here, you would like your mate to be a better mate. But you don't pray. We're lucky if we can get you to say grace at your meal. When's the last time you got a hold of God and you prayed and fasted, and really prayed for your mate? You gripe and you complain and you throw your little tizzy fits, but you've never spent a moment on your knees and got a hold of God for your mate. Listen, look up here. You be quiet now. You'll have to learn when to laugh and when not to. If I tell a joke, it's always funny, you laugh. Y'all getting that, right? But I'm telling you, I think a missing element in our marriages today, people, first of all, in general, don't pray. If they do, they usually praying for themselves about getting stuff. What would happen if every man in here became a prayer warrior and his wife was one of the big things for which he prayed? Pray that she would have happiness with you. And I don't think, and I think some of you say, I'm going to pray that God changes her into what she ought to be. I'd like you to be praying that God changes you into what you ought to be. I've found very few people in life. I've been preaching for a long time. I found very few people that ever give me the impression that they are deeply committed to prayer for their spouse and their marriage. I'm going to tell you something. There are marriages in this room. They will be destroyed before this year's out. I'm going to tell you why. You will not pray and you're not a serious Christian. You're more interested in Facebook than you are your God and getting on your knees. And don't you blame anybody but yourself when your marriage falls apart. You had a God available to you that could have changed your life, but you're too busy on the internet to get a hold of God. I'll get some humor in there in a moment, but a plan. Pray for them. I think you need a plan. I think there's another part of the plan. I think we've got a lot of good people here at our church, and they're very interested. They're very committed to the ministry here. But have a plan that your ministry involvement at the church doesn't make your children feel like they're unimportant or your wife feel like she's unimportant. I think you ought to have a ministry. I think you ought to be involved at the church. And I think the best you can, you ought to share that ministry with your kids and serve the Lord together. But could I recommend something? Don't be so busy helping everybody else's kids that you don't have time for yours. And don't be so busy helping other people's marriages and spouses that you're not helping your own. So I want you involved at church. But folks, don't destroy your marriage while you're down at the church helping other people's marriages. And I'll tell you this also. I watch people, and we tend to be this way. We'll come to church and we show kindnesses and courtesies to people who are friends, and then we're rude to our own spouse. There are men in this room, and I don't know who you are. I don't have a situation that I'm reflecting on, but there are men in this room. You open a door for the ladies here at the church. You're very kind. You say please. You say thank you, excuse me to all the women in the church. Then you go home and you're a grizzly bear and you're mean and hateful and spiteful with your own wife. Now, won't you get it together? The one that deserves the best treatment is your wife. So we put on down at the church. Now, I'm not asking you to take the goodness away from the church. I'm asking you to add the goodness at home. And ladies, may I say, there's some of you, you don't go around here snapping at me all the time. A couple of you do. But you don't go around here snapping at me or the other men at the church. But at home, you're just as nasty. It'd be a good idea if we'd all just become plain old-fashioned 24-hour day, 7-day a week Christians. And let's treat everybody right. But what I'm saying is, don't get so involved at church that you're ruining your family. You have to have time for both. Let me go on. I wish that, if possible, I think it's a good idea for you and your spouse to ride to church together. I think, if possible, I think it's a good idea for husband and wife to sit in church together. Now, we have situations. I don't get a set with my wife because I'm on the platform, and there are ushers that help us to attend to some things. But boy, if you can ride to church together, it's a good family time. Set together in church. I think it. And our auditorium's not huge, but I'll tell you this. I'll tell you all some advice I have. As the auditorium gets bigger, I'd probably even try to keep your kids somewhere near you during church. You won't have a lot of discipline problems that way, but it's good to be together in church. And I know that some of this probably seems old-fashioned to some of you, but we just sat with our family in church, and we came to church together, and we opened up the Bible together, and we prayed together. And you've heard the saying, the family that prays together stays together, and we had meals together. That's why the family used to be a big deal. Now today, Hollyweird is destroying the concept of the family, and everywhere we go, they're changing what a marriage actually is. Marriage is still between a man and a woman. What happened? You say, did Hollywood do that? No, I think the church stopped teaching what needed to be taught, and people stopped living what ought to be lived, and we're a part of that generation. God knows, where's this thing going? You say, I wish somebody would take care of it. How about you and I? We take care of our part. Our part. Ride to church together if you can. Sit together in church together. Men, stay with me now. Ladies, put a little extra into planning your meals for your husband. Thank you. Thank you. I'm helping you, men. I'm helping you. Ladies, men love food. Men love food. This is not in the Bible word for word, but it's the concepts in there. A way to a man's heart is through his stomach. I do not know why, but man, it's got to be true. Brother Tom and I, on Sundays, if the women are slow in cooking, We grab a bag of chips to eat. You say, why? You have to have something to eat or you'll starve to death. Every man here knows exactly what I'm saying. If it's not ready and he's ready to eat, give him something. Throw him a milk bone. He'll eat a doggy biscuit. He's got to have something to eat. Now, I love good food, but if I go to a steakhouse and there are 50 people in line waiting, I'm going across the street and eat a cheeseburger. If I want food, I want it now, and I can't wait for 4 hours. I could die. I mean, there are people in the Bible that sold their birthright for a bowl of beans. Somebody was hungry. Now, you ladies, listen to me. We need a revival in America of cooking. We need fried chicken and apple pie. We need mashed potatoes. And you can have gravy or big clumps of butter rolling down the side. I need green beans, not fresh out of a can. I want it made with bacon grease. Come on, reach it.
Brother, I'm going to preach it whether you like it or not. Now, I'll tell you something, ladies. Especially you younger girls, if you're ugly, learn how to cook. It may save your marriage. I'm telling you the truth. Now, on a more serious note, family meals used to be more important. All of you have been around a little while. This generation's got a totally different concept. We took time to have meals, and it seasoned our family. It was a part of what we did. How many of you say, well, I love my mom's cooking, or I love this, or I love that? Why do they have that memory? Because it was a big deal. And again, you say, preacher, sometimes you're just so old-fashioned. I know, and I don't apologize for it. I believe that this is a part of what made families and marriage a good thing. I've got to hurry. A couple more quick points, and we'll be done. I'll do this as appropriately as I think I can. I think you even need a plan for your intimate life. You need time for each other. Don't be cold toward one another. Don't push away one another's advances. Sometimes you just need to save energy. We've got a lot of hard-working people in our church. And boy, if you use up all your energy, then you don't have time for your spouse. And I think you need to be with your spouse. I think God gives us a spouse. It has something to do with the protection of our purity. Their availability helps a need to be met in our lives. So you just need time. You need to meet one another's need in regard to the intimate life. And I'm going to give you one key to that that could help marriages immensely. Don't be stingy. In your private life, don't make it all about yourself. You make it all about the other. If every husband said it's going to be all about you, and if every wife said it's going to be all about the husband, we got her fixed. You have two people giving themselves to one another, and that's exactly what marriage is. It's one flesh. They're in submission to one another intimately. But you got to get a plan. You got to get a plan for your intimate life. One more point, and we're done. I think you need to plan your conversations so they're not hurtful, but that they're helpful. The Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, Psalm 19:14. I think in our marriages we need to learn to praise one another. We're very quick to criticize. You can figure out what's wrong just like that. How much praising have you done with your spouse? I think it's still right to say thank you. Thank you. I think it's still right to say please. We live in a rude generation. Did you know this? This will be hard for some of you to understand. You don't always have to voice your opinion. Sometimes you just need to stick a sock in it. There are times if I wanted to fight, I could. But I just don't say anything. There are times that Mrs. Owens could start a fight with me if she wanted, but she just doesn't say anything. And you know what happens? Most of your disagreements will fade away if you'll allow. But you're going to stand your ground. You're my mate, the most important relationship in life, and I'm going to fight you tooth and nail. I'm going to make our kids miserable. I'm going to have myself a nervous wreck. I'm fighting. What's wrong with you? Listen now. I want to fight. That's not Christian, and that's not good behavior. I couldn't tell you how many people through the years in ministry, and some of you that have pastored, I could have had a lot of fights. But there's sometimes I stand there and I just say, I'm thinking, I'd like to bust your nose right now, but yeah. They gave it to me. Why? It's just not worth it. Sometimes you need to learn how much to discuss. Some people bring a laundry list to a discussion. They got 50 gripes and they're going to give them all at one time. Maybe that's not always wise. Sometimes you just need to learn how to discuss issues. You don't have to throw things. You don't have to be hateful. You don't have to destroy your mate. You don't have to scream, yell, make innuendo, and of course, always make sure you're right. Learn how to talk to one another with dignity. Get a plan. Get a plan with your conversations. So, I have given today, let's see, I said this, plan your personal walk with God. Plan to date on a regular basis. Plan sharing responsibility or not, whatever must be done to keep peace in the family. Get a plan for your finances. Plan a family vacation. Plan meal times together. Plan how to handle the children together. Plan to get along with the in-laws. Get a counselor if you need one. Plan some time in the Bible and family devotions. Plan to remember the important dates, the memories of life together. Men, plan some dates. It's not always, so what do you want to do? Plan some overnight getaways. Plan your prayer life so that you pray for your mate. Plan that you're not so involved at church you don't have time for your family and your spouse. Plan, if you can, to ride back and forth to church together and sit together in church so you've got that as a family time. Ladies, a little extra preparation in the meal, I promise you. Men will appreciate it. Men, if you don't, you're a knucklehead. Plan the intimate life is not all about you, but about your spouse. Then plan your conversations. God's a God of a plan. You know, everything God's ever done, it's planned. Matter of fact, to the point that He wrote it down. He said, here's the plan. Now, folks, I promise you, if you'd get a plan, some of you could fix your, marriage. Anything that you do not do well, you've not planned to do it well. Plan some things for your marriage, then work that plan and don't get sidetracked. And I believe your marriage could go to a new level. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, we welcome you to the Savior. We're going to have an altar call. It won't last a long time, but it'll last as long as it needs to. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. There are people in here, you've lost it. You've lost the importance of marriage. To you, it is not holy matrimony. It is just suffer through the situation. It's not supposed to be that way. I believe that I've been very practical, probably to the point that I'll be criticized, but I have given you a bunch of little things that will make your marriage better. Hey, and if you want to last 50 years in marriage, some of these things are going to be necessary. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I've been challenged. I've been reminded. I've learned some things for the first time. But God has spoken to my heart somewhere in the sermon this evening. There are some things I could work on to help my marriage to last 50 years. Who would raise their hand and say, God has spoken to my heart and my life. Amen. Lots of hands. Lots of hands. Married people, single people, God bless you. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. In a moment we'll stand. The pianist will begin to play. And when she does, if you need a moment at this altar, we welcome you to it. Rachel, if you would. Let's all stand together with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. If you're single, you need a moment at the altar, you come. If you're married and you need a moment at the altar, you come. There's some of you, I think you ought to get this morning's sermon and tonight's sermon, and I think you ought to listen to them. Probably wouldn't hurt you to outline it a little bit. It's a very practical series of suggestions that make marriages better. Marriages are not made up of just one great big thing. Marriages are made up of a bunch of little things, and if those little things are done right, done with the right spirit and the right attitude, you can have a happier marriage. And there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. You don't take two sinners and produce something that is perfect. But you can have a good marriage. You can have a happy marriage. And I wish in America we would start hearing the term holy matrimony again. Holy matrimony. One more time through the song, if you will, Rachel. One more time, please. I believe a marriage could be salvaged on a day like today at church if people just do what I said. If you did only one thing, if you got yourself right with God, you're halfway home. But if both you and your spouse would truly have a revival in regard to your relationship with the God of the universe, we could help your marriage. But if you're not willing, it won't happen. God can't make you do right.